Joining us today is John Beck, CEO and founder of Ursus. He brings a unique blend of building and managing, motivating world-class teams combined with a track record of operational discipline across all aspects of an organization. He is a technology go-to-market executive who built the talent and the strategies of these companies to accelerate growth. So in this sense, he is a hiring manager, and he's going to speak to you today. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Well, it's great to have you here tonight. I know that so many people in our community over the last couple of weeks have come on. They've been laid off. They're looking for work. They're looking for a company that's hiring. And it looks like you're the man with the jobs, or at least you're one of the men with the jobs. So tell us how things are going on your end and tell everyone what they want to hear.
Albert, I appreciate you having me. And for those of you listening, Albert is humble. The work that he does in addition to his full-time job is significant. And Albert, you know, on behalf of everyone that's part of your list, really appreciate the work that you're doing. I know you launched this effort even before the pandemic, and it's obviously even more important and relevant than ever. So really appreciate that. Good evening, guys. I appreciate you making time and spending time with me. Before we get anywhere, happy Cinco de Mayo. I appreciate that I'm probably in between you and your first or maybe next margarita. So appreciate you spending time with me tonight. And I want to keep this as interactive as possible. I've got a couple of things that I'd love to share with you. I'll tell you a little bit about our company. And then I really want to get into some of the things you can do as you're out looking for your next opportunity. Some of them may seem obvious. Some of them you probably or maybe heard before. Some of them may be new, but let's keep this interactive. Albert will serve as the host and moderator. So if you have questions or feel free to interrupt me at any point in time, or if we want to, you know, pivot and go a different direction, we can do that. So the first thing I'll say is, guys, is there's hope. I know this is a tough time for a lot of people, and especially for job seekers. But as somebody who is living and breathing what's happening in the job market, particularly in the Bay Area every day, what I can tell you is there are still companies that are hiring. And more hopeful, I think, is that the momentum is starting to pick up back up. We're seeing indicators based on the number of job requisitions that we're receiving. One of the other interesting things that's happening is, and we're all reading the same press, where there's plans to open back up specific businesses and offices. There's protocols involved with that. We're actually seeing a lot of requests for temperature takers. So when people come to the office, they can, you know, have their temperature taken to make sure that they're not sick or potentially sick. Cleaners, disinfectants, you know, they're calling them all sorts of things. Those are all good signs, which means people are looking to bring people back to work. Even without that, there are still a lot of opportunities where people are allowing folks to work from home. And by the way, I think that's a good thing in the long run too. I'm happy to chat about that later if people are interested. It will take a little time, but in the long run, I think whether you believe that it's a U-shape rebound or a V-shape or a W, pick your letter, that this will lead to really significant opportunity for everybody. And some are calling it the next industrial revolution. And I truly believe that. I think companies are going to have to re-engineer themselves in every industry, not with just technology, but with the way they do everything. And that means a lot of opportunity for us all. And then specifically to Ursus, currently we have 90 job openings on our board. Now, some of these are moving slower than others, but they are openings and they are taking candidates and interviewing, and we're actively working them. That number continues to creep up. It's low for us as a business, but again, still hopeful, and I'm seeing the trend tick upwards. So as far as our company is concerned, we do predominantly technical positions. However, we do, and a lot of our clients provide marketing, creative, recruiting, as well as accounting, finance, and business general. So if you are interested, please visit us at ursusinc.com, and we're on all the social media channels listed below there as well. So I encourage you to go to our site and take a look. These are some of the companies that we represent. Again, a lot of household names. For as many companies as you see on this slide, there are even more companies that are startups that are well-funded, that are on high-growth trajectories. Again, everyone's in a little bit of a different stage in terms of their reaction to the pandemic. But as things continue to open back up, they will need and continue to need good talent. So while we can't, in the specific jobs that we talk about today, I can't tell you which companies are associated with job orders. If you talk to somebody on our team, one of our recruiters will give you specifics along the way. We do run a weekly podcast. It's another resource for you if you're interested in tips and tricks, as well as just best practices about finding a job, or if you're a hiring manager listening tonight, how to think about hiring talents. And you can find us on all the major podcast channels, Apple, Google, Spotify, et cetera, and YouTube. So we as a company, we pride ourselves in doing the little things right. We call it the Ursus way. And those four things are around communication, attention to detail, continual improvement, and then what we refer to as the hustle. You can flip this on its head, which I'm going to do for the purposes of our discussion, and apply it. Sorry, I'm just slightly jumping here. For job seekers. And these aren't tips. These are prescriptions for you guys. Anyone who's serious about finding the next opportunity, these are the things that you have to do, and every day if they're possible. And I want to dive in each one of these individually as it relates to you all looking for jobs. The first one centers around communication and continual contact. If social distancing, the rules was to stay away from each other, with networking, the goal is to reach as many people as you can. Obviously, you can't go have coffee and lunch these days, but to go and network and make contact with friends, family, colleagues, to keep that conversation going, is the first thing that you need to continue to do over and over again. And by the way, not just now, but as a practice. Admittedly, early in my career, I wasn't as good as that until I had mentors of mine and people along the way really stress the benefit of it. And once I started to understand it, when I think about the people that I connected with early in my career, and I'm an older guy, I was back in the early 90s, there are folks that are still contacts of mine, mentors of mine that I can lean on for leads or job opportunities or referrals or references or whatever the case may be. So your network and the strength of your network is everything. I think it's really important when you're looking for your job to first take a moment to read, understand, listen if you're hearing things about the job that you're applying for. A lot of people just sling resumes and they don't even know what job they're applying for. We see stuff come through that is so far from the mark. It doesn't do you any good, and it just creates noise in the system. So take some time, and then if you're lucky enough to get an interview, you want to be prepared, because sometimes it happens really fast, and better for you to have done that research up in front than waiting to be caught off guard. We also encourage our job seekers, and we practice this as a business, about being persistent. And we call it politely persistent, but there are ways that you can continue to follow up over and over and over again. There are a lot of people looking for jobs right now. There are a lot of people that have been furloughed and laid off, so there's competition out there. My team hears this every single day. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. If you're not staying on top of somebody, politely, of course, but persistently, your resume or candidacy may fall down to the bottom of the stack. So every conversation and interaction is important. You never know what conversation is going to lead to another lead or to another introduction. And as part of those discussions, make sure you have an ask. So if you're reaching out to me, I want to know what specifically you are looking for me to help. But also offer to help those people that you're talking to. Job seeking karma is very, very real. So I encourage you to think bi-directionally. Attention to detail. Again, this is one, even with, I see very experienced, seasoned candidates come through with resumes that have typos or grammatical errors. There's no reason in this day and age where that should happen. For those of you that have never heard of Grammarly, there's a paid version and there's a free version plugin that you can plug into your browser or into your laptop. It'll basically take a look at everything that you write and make sure that there aren't any typos or grammars. Can't happen. Another thing that is a big miss sometimes is not including contact information. I know some people are sensitive to put home information or home addresses, but at a minimum, you should include your zip code. One thing that I can tell you about recruiters is, and not mine, but a lot of them are very lazy and they will map to just a geography. So they'll do a search for a certain zip code or zip codes. And if yours isn't included, you may not actually pop up on their screen. So make sure that you're found. On your profiles, set yourself up for success. LinkedIn and Indeed and all of the job boards out there, LinkedIn in particular, are fantastic tools to market yourself. More candidates than not do not maximize the opportunity to sell themselves. There are multiple sections available on your LinkedIn profile. They even, as you see at the bottom of the screen, will show you your profile strength. Maximize that content. Put your educational history. Put the hobbies or clubs that you're part of. People want to identify with you and your interests. Sometimes that's the key to getting. And you may see somebody that has a relevant or similar experience to you. Maybe you're both dog lovers. Maybe you both love cricket. Whatever it is, as much information as possible. The other thing is make sure that your listing yourself is available. Each tool has specific ways to identify yourself as a job seeker. Too many candidates miss this. So they think they've set up their profile, and when in actuality, they're not even set up where a recruiter can go find them because they're not even showing as a job seeker. Be active and participate. Comment on posts. Follow people that you think are influencers. Write blogs if you have the time. The more activity you have, there are algorithms in all these sites, which will then make your profile stand out more and more. The other one is keywords. Again, recruiters being lazy and they pattern match. If you are, for example, a Ruby on Rails developer or a UI developer or a creative director, make sure you're putting that in your profile in multiple places. The more time it's there, again, these search engines and recruiters use tools that will catch those keywords, which will get you through the first gate. So don't miss out on the opportunity. And then the last one on this list is exhaust all the job boards. Most of them are free. Some recruiters only look at one or the other on a handful. Put yourself out there and all. Doesn't cost you anything. Takes a little work. The more places that you show up, the better chance you are to be found. Constant improvements. And Albert, by the way, if there are questions along the way, feel free to jump in and interrupt.
Sure, you got it. Yeah, before you start this slide, I do have a question.
Sure.
From somebody. And so Fiona asks, with all these layoffs from high-profile companies, how can folks who haven't worked at big names stand out in this job market?
Yeah, that's a great question, by the way. I think in some cases, going back to lazy recruiters, it can be more difficult. Some recruiters, if they see somebody that comes from a Facebook or an Amazon, they just assume that they're really good and talented, which is not always the case, by the way. I think, Fiona, your challenges and your opportunity is to find other ways to distinguish yourself as unique. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a lot of experience or experience with big companies. One thing that any hiring manager that's worth their salt will look at is specific accomplishments that you've achieved in prior jobs. And again, it doesn't have to be a household name. What did you do and what was the actual tangible result in terms of if you're a salesperson of dollars, if you're an operations person, how much did you save? If you're a developer, what was the end result of the product that you created? Specific things that you can cite and that will make your resume jump off the page. The other thing is, again, especially in the introductory phases when you're on LinkedIn posting other places, all the other information. More often than not, when a hiring manager and a candidate fall in love, to use the metaphor, yes, you have to have the skill sets, but people hire people. And they hire people that they like, that they can relate to, which also, by the way, have the skill set to do the job. So I wouldn't be discouraged just because you don't have big company names. Yes, some recruiters are going to be lazy and not take that into account, but there are just as many who will take the extra step to look and notice something that you have that you need. Good question. In terms of constant improvement, again, every opportunity and every time that you have an interview or a conversation, repetition, if you will, call them at bats, to use a baseball metaphor, is a learning opportunity. What can you do differently the next time or learn from if it was a fail or it didn't go the way that you wanted to? And I've got the slide there. How do you take that as fuel for future growth and set yourself up for the next time to do that much smarter? The other one is stay active, participate in webinars like this. We actually were involved in Virtual Fair, which is another great, you see the URL there. There were, I think today, 10 companies we participated, Nike, Microsoft, all companies, SAIC, all companies that are hiring, get involved in many of those if you can. It was a chance for candidates to talk to our recruiters and in some cases on a one-on-one basis, which is super helpful for us because it cuts through a lot of the noise and it's obviously very helpful for job seekers. The other one seems obvious, but again, when things are tough, really important to keep your head, to stay healthy, to keep perspective. This is hard. It's a hard time, but if you're patient with yourself, not complacent, not sitting on the couch and just eating away, you know, your days watching Netflix, but staying mentally sharp and physically healthy and knowing that your job is to find a job, you'll get there. And again, as time marches on, this will pass and it'll get easier. So continue to remind yourself that and don't give up. Which goes to the hustle. It's tough out there. There's a lot of people competing for the same jobs. You have to scratch and claw and grind and continue to do the extra things. And that's true not just in the pandemic, it's true of life. It's competitive out there. Doing the little things that make a difference, whatever that is, you know, whatever your intuition tells you, whatever the extra email or handwritten notes, whatever those extra things are, do them. You may not hear from anybody, but continue to do them. Because you may get knocked down and told no, you know, 10, 20, 30 times. Your job is to get a job, and you will if you keep going. That's what I have prepared, Albert. I'm happy to take any and all questions that are specific and to touch or dive deeper in anything that we talked about or anything else that people have in their minds.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And thank you for that presentation. I think it's really important for people to know what's going on in the economy right now. And we've been just trying to make that known during these uncertain times. And so when it comes to what you're looking for and what you're hiring for, Ursus, tell me about your ideal candidate and what you're looking for. And perhaps if someone's watching, they can kind of get an idea of whether they can qualify for your role or not.
Yeah, I think a lot of things that I covered in terms of their presentation to us matter. If we see a resume, if our recruiter sees a resume with a typo or a grammatical error, it just tells me that there's not that attention to detail. So there are a lot of what we call gates that are, you know, the simple things, but the attention to detail that matter. Once you get through those, then yes, we do look at experience and skill sets. But when we talk to people on the phone, and we talk to a lot of people, we're, as much as we're looking at the experience that's relevant to what the hiring manager is looking for, we're also really looking for the person. And to understand who they are. And when we work with clients, we spend a lot of time trying to understand what their culture is, and specifically what the hiring manager likes and dislikes are, and map that to the candidate. And I'll give you an example. Some hiring managers are looking for people that are very self-motivated and self-sufficient and don't need a lot of management structure. We can tell by having a conversation with somebody about their experience and what they've done, whether they need a lot of direction and guidance, or whether they're more apt to go out on their own and creative and do things and you know, be self-sufficient. That comes through conversation, that comes through selling and presenting yourself. And I hear all the time, well, I mean, I'm not really good at selling myself, and I'm not in sales, which I say 2 weeks ago. Everybody is in sales. Whether you're in marketing or a doctor or a lawyer, everyone has to sell themselves. And it's a skill set. And so practice it, back to the repetition. Take time to interview over and over and over again. The better that you get at selling yourself, the better chance you have to get through the gates, get to the hiring manager, to compete with other people looking for the same job.
Perfect. Next question comes from Krishna. Krishna says, I want to know what some of the average statistics for the funnel through the life cycle are, since it's a numbers game. So I think she's trying to ask, like, what is, for somebody who comes in and is looking to work with Ursus, what is their average time from first contact to hire? And since many of these roles tend to be probably contract roles, since you're a consulting firm, what does the assistance throughout the entire hiring process look like once you do have that job, once that contract ends, among other things?
Yeah.
I know that's super specific.
But. No, it is, but and it's a good question. And it's, by the way, it's a tough question too, Krishna, but I appreciate it. I'll answer it a couple of different ways. First of all, we do full-time hires well today, so that's of interest, and we denote that on the website. I don't have ratio numbers that I can cite off the top of my head. I do know from a time perspective, for us as a recruiting firm, staffing firm, our typical time from first contact with when the job is open, first contact with candidates to placement filled, candidate starting, averages about 30 days plus or minus. I think in the world we're living in today, it's fair to at least double that. While companies are, yes, they're hiring, they're being more thoughtful, there is push and pull, you know, based on frankly what's happening in the news on any given day. Some days people are bullish and think, hey, here we go, we're going. And some days, oh, we got to pull back and it's going to take longer. I wouldn't let that discourage you. And again, going back to that persistent thing, especially if you've gotten some feedback from either us as a firm or any other firm or directly with a client or a company, continue to stay top of mind. Even if the same answer is, I don't have an update and maybe I'll have an update next week, at least you're staying top of mind. We do our best to stay in touch with candidates that we engage with. Sometimes they're just starting to get fit and we let them know, or hopefully earlier than later in the cycle if it's trying to get fit, but there may be others down the line, and that's why we have systems in place to track those folks. So again, it's staying mindful, and finding ways to have a reason to continue to contact that. That persistence thing is really, really important. Hopefully that makes some sense.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Jazzy asks, with the interviews I've had, it seems like no one wants to onboard until July. Have you noticed the same?
We have, Jazzy, full name, by the way. So yes, there have been delays. Some of them, and there's a lot of different reasons why. In some cases, we have clients that don't have enough laptop inventory to ship to workers that are remote. There aren't enough laptops to code around. So there's logistical supply chain issues that are happening right now and are hopefully getting caught up. Some of them are waiting for what they believe are the dates that the offices are going to reopen. I don't personally agree with that because I think what an open office means to us is going to look very different than it did 60 days ago for a couple of reasons. One is just what we can and can't do with social distancing and protecting ourselves and that sort of thing. I think a lot of employees will demand, if they can, to work from home, and I think they have a right to do that, especially if their job permits them to do that. I think just rushing all back to doing things the way we're doing is a huge mistake. And I think the companies that are mindful of that and looking to change and adapt are frankly going to have a competitive advantage of those who don't. So
It used to be, right, that working remotely was sort of a perk, and now it's become a standard feature, which is really different.
And I don't believe, again, and this is something that we're a virtual company too, by the way. We've been virtual for 3 years, made a conscious decision, and it took some time to figure out the best way to do things. But the excuse of, I can't manage my employees, I don't buy that. There's plenty of ways with key performance indicators. I can't communicate with them, I don't buy that. We've lived it for the last 2 months. Every research study ever done shows that a healthier and happier employee is a more productive employee. You're hearing probably from other people and reading about it, and I'm certainly, I'll raise my hand. I'm doing more work now, I've always worked from home, but I'm doing more work now than I was, maybe that's not as much to do. But if you don't have to spend 2 hours in the car or on BART or on a plane and actually get work done, you know, the alternative of driving that 2 hours to go sit at your desk, put your headphones on, not talk to anybody, it's insanity. So I'm very, very hopeful that this continues, because the other thing to do is open more jobs for everybody. You all here, if you're predominantly in the Bay Area, there's no reason if you have a job that you can do from your home, that you can't work for a company that's based in New York City or Boston or Madison, Wisconsin. It shouldn't matter. And again, that's going to create more opportunity. But to answer your question in terms of we're seeing it too. I think as things start to normalize and, you know, phase one and phase two, specifically in California, start to open up, my hope is that July timeframe creeps back up sooner than later.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I worked remotely for 3 years myself, and I actually prefer being in an office, but, you know, I guess that's all really just going to change forevermore. And so I think that, I mean, when you think of, like, maybe perhaps workers going back into an office space, what time frame do you think you'd be looking at for that? Are you thinking like maybe mid-2021? Are we all working at home for the next year?
No, not necessarily. I think the office will look different. I'm not sure what there'll be open floor plans that are in vogue today. I think we may wind up going back to cubes or sitting every other desk. I think for the near term, until we can prove that there's a vaccine and that, you know, the numbers start to normalize, we'll all wear masks as we should. We hear a lot of talk about plexiglass in between. So, you know, there's going to be some adaptations that are going to happen. But also the work from home thing, you know, there may be different work shifts. There may be on off days. There may be flex time where you're coming in early and leaving earlier, coming in later and leaving. Like, I mean, there's options. There's creativity. There's creative ways to do this and still get the work done and put people back to work. But I do think it's going to look different. And I do think, again, for those companies and those jobs, and I understand that some jobs you have to go on site, I appreciate that, but for those jobs that can be done at home, it just makes a lot of sense. And we even talk about the environmental impact, right? Mother Nature has exhaled, and look at all the things that have happened with less people on the road and on airplanes. It's remarkable. So there's so many good byproducts of that. You can probably tell by now, I'm pro work from home.
Good stuff. Helena says, I'm interested in a project manager contract position that goes 3 to 9 months in software implementation. Any advice on a strategy for the search?
Well, first of all, I think we have some of those open ourselves. But the next thing I'll say is, that is a very broad term. And I hear people say, I'm looking for a program management or project management position. And we see the job recs sometimes that come through. And sometimes even the job description, I'll read it and I say, I can't tell what this person is looking for. So my guidance to you is, especially if you present yourself, be specific. We'll take a job order or requisition sometimes, it's just a project manager, and hyphenate and say specifically for what the job is. Data center production, you know, whatever it is, studio man, whatever the job is, be specific. And often, this goes back to your LinkedIn profile, be specific. If you just put that you're a project manager, you're gonna fall into a much bigger bucket and potentially get lost.
All right, cool. Next question. Wow, we're getting quite a few here. Will salaries be lower in the market because of people working from home?
That too is a very good question. I think there's two ways to look at this. As a employee, I would say no, although my expectation should be no. So you should not acquiesce and say, I'm going to take less money because I'm working from home, because you still have the skill set that you're acquiring. The company lens is a couple of different ways to look at it. I save money if you can work at home and I don't have to find office space and overhead for you to work in, right? By the same token, you're probably going to save some money by working home because you don't have to pay for commuting and parking and all the other things that come with going back and forth to a job. So does that balance out? I don't know. I don't think it's going to change salaries. I'm sure some companies will try to play that card. But, you know, if I have a huge office presence in downtown San Francisco that I now can cut in half or a third or eliminate altogether, I just save myself a ton of money. And so, you know, we'll see, time will tell. There's a great, and I'm happy to share it out later, there was a great piece on Medium yesterday, I believe, that talked about the 5 stages of working from home for companies. And there's a company that is a big WordPress, in fact, I think they made responsible WordPress, 1,600 employees globally, not a single office. And they've done it for the last 6 years. So, you know, again, there's a need and a place. I'm not saying, you know, destroy all the office buildings or shut them all down. But again, I just think it makes a lot of sense.
Ooh, wonderful. Let's see. Lisa asks, if we find a specific job listing on your candidate portal for Ursus and have questions about the position, who can we reach out to?
So a couple things. First of all, make sure you submit your resume and it'll go through our system to the appropriate person leading that search. For those of you who were on, and I'll actually go back to this, since you took the time to join me on Cinco de Mayo, feel free if you would like to, you can use, send me an email directly. I get a lot of email, pretty good at processing it all. I'm happy to forward along to the right person, right to search.
So you're one of those CEOs then who actually responds to email and listens to employees and such, then, huh?
I try to. Listen, these are people and people deserve respect. Finding a job is hard. I see a lot of email, I respond to a lot of email. Every hire gets a note from me. You know, I try to make as many contacts as I can. So again, for any of you out there, feel free to shoot me a note.
I think you're about to get a lot of applications because there aren't that many leaders who are like that. So yeah. Fiona asks, in the pre-pandemic world, for better or for worse, there was a stigma around long periods of time between jobs and getting hired, such as during the Great Recession. Do you see that changing since so many people have lost their jobs?
You know, I think, so I'm going to, this is kind of, it depends.
The long pause is kind of concerning. Yeah, well,
I think it depends on the situation. Listen, there are all sorts of really good reasons why people take time off of green jobs. I think it's important that you have a story and an explanation and can articulate why it is that you did that. People go on sabbatical. People have parents that fall ill. You know, people take, say, I just want time, you know, whatever it is, come at it from a position of strength, if that makes sense, in both your presentation on your resume and during your interviews. Don't apologize for taking the time off. Say, this is what I did, and here's why I did it, and here's why it made me better to prepare myself for this job or the next job or the one that I took after.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I mean, so I think, like, I think if I heard you correctly, it really just comes down to your situation. And I think for a lot of people, it's going to be COVID-19 is the reason I'm out of work and I'm ready, willing, and able.
Yeah, and people will understand that too, right? I mean, everyone is going to have some sort of gap or every, you know, line graph read out of business, right? I mean, there's going to be a period of COVID-19 where everything's going to be different. Now, that said, be prepared to answer the question as time marks on. What did you do during the time, right? And there's opportunity here, right? I decided to write a blog, or I created a podcast, or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, and some of it's just, I just continue to look for a job. Just be prepared to answer the question. And that's the same answer I would have given you 60 days ago as well. Because recruiters do, when they see it, and hiring managers do, when they see the gap, they go, okay, I want to know more about this. What's up?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Wow, we're having a lot of questions coming right now. Utomo says, I'm a recent graduate and I've been applying to entry-level sales jobs. However, I've been rejected despite having done business internships when I was still studying. How can I be more successful in obtaining offers? Should I do anything else aside from being resilient and apply? We do have a lot of new graduates in this community, and so that's one thing to note as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you, what's his name?
His name is Utomo.
Utomo. So Utomo, I acknowledge coming out of college into the COVID-19 era is a challenge, right? And I have a lot of kids that I coach and that I know who are wrestling with this. Here's the advice I give to all of them. One is, I'll go back to making all the connections and networking, right? And be shameless in that. I can't tell you how many people reach out to me and say, I'm really sorry for taking your time. And I said, first of all, don't apologize. You're doing the right thing. Because the conversation that you have with me or anybody else could lead to the next conversation, the next conversation. It may take you a bunch of different hops to get to somebody that maybe has a warm lead of somebody who's hiring. So that's number one. Number two is, there are firms that specialize in finding salespeople. And again, if you want to shoot me an email, I can refer you to a couple of companies because we don't typically find salespeople. There are firms that specialize in finding salespeople, and I can tell you all of them, similar to how bullish I am about the rebound, are preparing and talking to companies that, you know, it's one thing that Americans are really good at is buying stuff. And in order to buy stuff, you got to have a lot of salespeople. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is, take whatever you've done in college, and it sounds like you've had some internships again, and remember to position that as really the things that you've done. Be specific. If you worked for a t-shirt company and you sold $5,000 of the t-shirts and that was the most that anybody sold, list that. You were the number one salesperson, right? Take that information and data and present yourself as a doer. That's going to get you noticed, because as time marches on and things start to loosen up, recent grads, newer grads, you guys are going to be in demand as well too. So don't be discouraged, but I appreciate it is a unique time, and you will look back at this and say, wow, if I got through this. And by the way, I have a stepdaughter who got laid off, just as an anecdote, who got laid off right after all this stuff hit. She found a job and started 2 weeks ago, and she worked her tail off, and she got rejected. I don't know how many interviews she had and how many places she just continued. And she ultimately had a choice between two jobs, and she got one. So it is possible.
It is possible. I like it. That's important to note. I mean, you know, there's 30 million people unemployed out there, but, you know, if you look hard enough and you network hard enough and you get yourself to the top of the pile, and I mean, you know, you're a hiring manager, so if somebody out here stood out in this community, they could surely be there and possibly get a role for you as well.
Absolutely. Here's the thing to remember too, guys, because Albert's thrown out that 30 million. That's a big number.
It is. And it's probably more because unemployment systems aren't exactly working correctly.
It is probably more. But here's the deal. There are 100 some odd people that chose on Cinco de Mayo to show up for this webinar and try to get tips and to connect with me and Albert. You're ahead of the game. Of that 30 million, I don't know how many, maybe it's a third, maybe it's half, are sitting back and saying, woe is me, and feeling sorry for themselves, and, you know, sitting on the couch and just wasting away time and not getting up, picking themselves and doing stuff. The fact that you're here and doing this, you're half the battle you've won. right? You're active, you're doing stuff, and that's going to be the key to getting hired first. You know, the people that decide after the end of summer to get going, like, you know, you're not that they're too late, but, you know, some of the jobs are already going to be filled. So, you know, I've heard a great metaphor, which I love, and I'll use it again here, especially for us Californians, anyone who surfs. If you want to catch the wave, which we all believe is coming, the next wave after everyone's been laid off, the wave of people hiring, you got to start paddling ahead of time. You can't just sit on the wave and catch it. You got to start ahead. So you guys are doing that right now, and, you know, give yourselves a pat on the back and keep going, because that's what's going to get you hired.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Kathy asks, is it better to focus on the technical skills versus the management skills? I have a master's of science degree in health informatics and career experience as a technical project manager and a software engineer. How do I cover the possibilities?
I think it depends on what you want to do. And I understand the question. It's not uncommon for candidates to have multiple versions of their resume. If you see a job that is more management slanted, create a resume that speaks to your management skills. If you see one that's more operational and hands-on, create your resume to speak to that. There's no harm in doing that. You see multiple copies of resumes come through all the time. Sure, you can have a version that covers both, but if you really want to hit home on your expertise and your accomplishments in one versus the other and stand out, I'm a firm believer in having multiple versions, because you're lucky. You have a lot of skills to offer. Sometimes that works not to your detriment, but we have candidates that we call tweeners, like, they've done a bunch of management stuff, but have they done enough operational stuff? And on a piece of paper, that doesn't always come through. You may have done both really, really well. Find ways to present yourself in both lights.
Wonderful. La Renee asks, what advice do you have for people who are non-technical and trying to move into marketing as an entry-level professional? I'm trying to get my foot into marketing, and I'm currently working in a nonprofit where I am providing marketing support for internal programs. Since it sounds like you guys have marketing roles available, right?
Yes. Similar answer. Take the things that you have done for that nonprofit. I'm sure there are tangible successes that you've had, and spell those out in your resume and your LinkedIn profile. Find ways to think about how they would translate into technology marketer positions. Just because you're not a technologist, listen, there are plenty of marketing positions in technology where there are people that have no idea what the technology is. They're good marketers. Yes, there are some positions where if you're a product marketer, you're probably going to have a harder time breaking through. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing, you know, marketing lead generation or creative work or events, virtual events are going to take off. Whatever it is that you've done at that nonprofit, my suspicion is you've probably done things that are applicable in the technology world as well.
Good stuff. Alisa asks a follow-up question. Oh, okay. She says that she'll email you. Wonderful. Fiona says, thank you. Utomo says, thank you. Helena writes, considering my passions, my long-term goal for the industry is to work in regulatory technology. How can I find recruiting agencies and recruiters who specialize in companies in this field so that I can reach out to them and put myself out on the map?
I might need some clarification on what regulatory technology means, but
I don't know what it is either. But
I would say, again, for anything that's, I mean, you know, the short answer is if you do some searching on Google and other places, and it may take a little while for something that's that specific. There are specific staffing and recruiting firms for almost everything, believe it or not. Medical workers, medical salespeople, manufacturing, you know, cell tower installers. There are specialists everywhere. So take a little time to research it. And if you want to shoot me a note and tell me what that is, I'm happy to take a look for you. But my guess is you'll find it if you do a little digging.
Wonderful, wonderful. Kathy is asking, what tips do you have for LinkedIn? Do you or your recruiters look at LinkedIn's, or do they focus mainly on resumes?
So short answer is yes. We especially because there's a lot of technology talent on LinkedIn. So we spend a ton of time on LinkedIn. But we also are on other job boards, Indeed, Zip, Dice, CareerBuilder, Monster, etc. But all of them cover, I mean, there's some have more, like Dice is more slanted really towards technology. LinkedIn is a little broader, Indeed's a little broader. Again, if you see some of the things here, you know, the suggestions, exhaust the opportunity to present yourself within the space that they give you. LinkedIn really does a good job of providing sections for personal interests, educational background, anything that you've published, you can include on there. I mean, the more information that you can provide, the better. And again, going back to some of the specific things, use the keywords of the things that you're looking for. So if you're a marketing creative person, put marketing creative, right? If you're a UX designer, make sure UX designer's in there. And the other thing is that, and this actually reminds me, continue periodically to update your LinkedIn profile as well too. New information, again, there's algorithms that work on all these job sites and profiles. The more times you comment or post or update is more likely to bubble up to the top of that algorithm. So again, be active, both on your own profile and commenting, and you may catch someone's attention. It's amazing. I've gotten the attention of other CEOs just by posting something that, you know, at the right time where they're looking at it, that it gets their attention. You just never know from a timing perspective who's going to be looking and when.
That is true. You never really do know at all. So I think it's fantastic. I don't see any other new questions coming in. I think it's great that so many people have definitely asked questions to understand the process of how things work. So I think for my final question, yeah, like, what final words do you sort of have around what job seekers are seeing today? So, you know, as they move into the middle of May here, it's getting warmer, it's brighter later, which I think is always really helpful because getting some sun is always really good. But out of everything in this video today, what would be your top piece of advice for somebody who is getting out there on the job hunt and wants to really make this a success so they're not out of the market for too long?
Yeah, I think, first of all, Albert, thanks again for having me. And guys, really great questions. And feel free to email me if you want to reach out, and I'll either respond or point you in the right direction. I think two things. One is, again, there's hope. There's always hope. I'm an eternal optimist, but I'm saying it based on factual information that I'm seeing. So take that hope as fuel and energy and go do the work. Don't sit back and, you know, say, well, keep going. The work that you're doing today is going to pay off. It may be a week from now, maybe a month from now, maybe 2 months from now. But you're going to be farther ahead doing the work now than if you sat back and did nothing. You'll be smarter. You'll be more prepared. You'll have more connections through your network. You'll have more failure and feedback on what to do right the next time. Press on. And good things will happen. And anything that we can do as Ursus to help, we certainly will. And there's great resources like Albert and his list and others. Take advantage of all of them. Don't be shy. We're doing our job, so you can go get a job.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. And I think a lot of people have watched. I think you've had a consistent between 38 to 45 people on this video so far. And so I'm looking forward to seeing applications come through your door and to see people hopefully get hired and to have more of that opportunity so that they can go ahead and find their next job opportunity. And, you know, I just see that you put up your email here. And so I hope that individuals can also look to being able to get in touch with you. You know, knowing the kind of leader that you are now, it's fantastic. And Jay here says, nice speech, John, I'll apply to your company. And so I appreciate your time tonight. I know that this is like dinner time, so hopefully I didn't take you away from your family or anything else that you may find important during these times of the coronavirus pandemic. And for those of you watching, I also appreciate you spending some time with us as well, and that you've taken away something and that you've learned something, and that perhaps Ursus is now on your radar as a company to apply to. And if any of you do end up applying and get hired, please state that as a success story, because I think it'll be wonderful to hear within the community. And so go to their website, look up those open roles, and I believe one of your recruiters, Nicole Christos, is here in this community as well. So reach out to her. Her email is here in the chat as well. And so let's
just say for marketing, Nicole handles our creative marketing. So any of you out there with creative marketing, Nicole's your person.
Well, that's even more exciting because we have a lot of marketers here from all sorts of levels. So to just echo what John said, Nicole handles marketing roles. So email her your resume, tell her that you found her off Albert's list, and let's get you all hired with all the opportunities that you deserve. And so in the meantime, as COVID-19 continues, we want to also invite you guys for some of your other upcoming webinars as well. Tomorrow, we're doing our weekly mock interview rescheduled for Monday, where Corey Hiramoto of CareerShakers is going to be back, and he's going to be chatting with one of our group members about a senior UX roles, user experience roles, and how to interview for those areas. And before then, we'll see you in the community with all of your success stories, hopefully from being hired here at Ursus, introductions, your advice posts, and so much more. And remember, we'll get through this together. In the meantime, may luck be in your favor and may peace be on your mind. Thank you again, John, and we'll all talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, all. Happy Cinco de Mayo.